From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's our Christmas special. Coming up in this half hour, we'll hear my rendition of The Night Before Christmas, one of my favorite stories at this time of year, and we'll hear a piece that I produced a very, very long time ago now about tractors and Joseph Vertel and Max Armstrong. It's a great story, and I think you'll want to stick around for that. We'll also hear about Exceed Internet. Should you get a device this year that needs to be connected to the internet and you want to play with that in your home and speeds just aren't up to snuff? Well, there are some options. We'll talk with one of the suppliers of high-speed internet to the farm via the satellite systems during this Christmas edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Our term of the day is margin. The initial margin requirement is the amount of money required to be collateralized in order to take a position in the marketplace. Thereafter, the amount required to be kept in collateral until the position is closed is the maintenance requirement. The maintenance requirement is the minimum amount to be collateralized in order to keep an open position. Now, it's generally lower than the initial requirement. This allows the price to move against the margin without forcing a margin call immediately after the initial transaction. Margin call, when the margin posted in the margin account is below the minimum margin requirement, the broker or exchange issues a margin call. The investors now either have to increase the margin, the amount of money they have deposited, or close out their position. They can do this by selling the securities, options, or futures if they are long and buying them back if they are short. But if they do none of these, then the broker can sell their securities to meet the margin call. If a margin call occurs unexpectedly, it can cause a domino effect of selling which will lead to other margin calls and so forth, effectively crashing an asset class or a group of asset classes. This situation most frequently happens as a result of an adverse change to the market value of the leveraged asset or contract. It could also happen when the margin requirement is raised, either due to increased volatility or due to legislation. In extreme cases, certain securities may cease to qualify for margin trading. In such case, the brokerage will require the trader to either fully fund their position or to liquidate it. And that is the definition of margin. Let me take a moment now to thank you for listening to our ag programming. Thank you. I mean it. Really, thank you for listening to the programming. And just as a reminder, here's what you hear each and every business day. We start at 8:55 a.m. with the opening market report, including Aaron Curtis, Pete Manhart, Bill Gentry, Ellen Dearden, and Bill Mayer. And then an update at 10:58 a.m. with five other voices, Joe Vaklovic, Greg Ginder, Merrill Crowley, Chip Nellinger, and Steve Georgie, followed up at 12:58 each and every business day with Sue Martin, and then, of course, the closing market report, including our analysts Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Jackie Vakes, Dan Zwicker, and Mike Zuzalo. And we wrap up each week by recording Commodity Week on Thursday evening. You can hear it at willag.org that night or on Friday afternoon at 2:36. Oh, and don't forget that we also have a whole series of regularly scheduled analysts during the closing market report for weather. Those include meteorologist on Monday, Mark Russo, Tuesday, Don Day, Wednesday, Drew Lerner, Thursday, Mike Tenora, and on Friday afternoon, both Jim Angel and Eric Snodgrass. WillAg.org. We think it's one of the most comprehensive places that you can find information about markets and weather and agricultural news. Oh, and thank you. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you to everyone who attended the 5th Annual WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference in Normal. We appreciate your support. A special thank you to these businesses for helping to make it possible: the Illinois Corn Growers Association, Syngenta, and TIAA. More details on agriculture at willag.org.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Happy holidays. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. From my family to yours, wishing you the very merriest of Christmases. It's that time of year when we consider just how important our family is to us. I hope that yours means as much to you as mine does to me. Also, that my family extends all the way to you from right here on this campus. I oftentimes think of WILL, the radio station, U of I Extension, the College of Agriculture, and all the folks that I travel with each and every year, bringing you news and information about agriculture as part of my family. I hope that makes a difference to you and that it helps you in your family affairs as well, because I'm assuming if you listen to the show more often than not, you're probably a farmer if you're listening really deeply to the show, maybe a landowner, or maybe you're just interested in agriculture. However that happens, thank you for listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It does mean so much to me. Have a great Christmas break. Coming up next, I'll tell you a few stories. That's what my mother-in-law says I do for a living, and sometimes, really, I do. What I want from Santa this year is a toy tractor. Well, Santa actually already brought it to me. He made it himself. It's a Meadow Green Oliver, 1955, trimmed in clover white with orange and black to set it off. And this little toy tractor is the first model he's ever made with a radio mounted right there on the fender. It's just like the one I clung to as a little boy when Dad and I went to the field. My Santa is Joe Ertl of Dyersville, Iowa. For 50 years, the company his dad founded has made the dreams of little and big farm boys come true.
Now I'm only 5 years old. I've got to do just what I'm told. 'Cause Santa Claus is going to be dropping in on me.
Max Armstrong, farm broadcaster, WGN, U.S. Farm Report, Chicago. Every kid loves a tractor. There's no doubt in my mind, boys love tractors. And as we get a little bit older, some of us who grew up on those tractors think back to those days. I mean, when I look at my Farmall Super M or the Super H, I think about days of sitting in that tractor, bringing in a load of corn when I was a little boy, and coming in on a chilly October night with that moon coming up over the corn stalks. Or I think about cultivating corn down to the Wabash Bottoms. I was on one tractor and Dad was on another. You know, there's just something very, very special, especially if it's a tractor that Dad had. You know, there's an emotion that gets wrapped up in that.
One and a quarter back here. I got one now. Got to be one and a quarter now. 150. Mark, one and a half.
It is an emotion that Max Armstrong knows all too well, and one that has made Joseph Ertl's toy tractors worth a lot of money. At this auction in November, to benefit scholarships for future farm broadcasters, Max spent $300 on a 1/8-inch scale Farmall MD. It's special for many reasons.
That's an M diesel, and this one is special because it's a 50th anniversary tractor. On the frame of that tractor are raised letters pointing out that it's the 50th year of toy making for Joseph Ertl, the legendary toy maker who owns Scale Model Toys.
Would you like me to put anything up here on the your name or anything?
Joe Ertl is a celebrity in his own right, and for years his autograph has been sought after. Like Santa, he gives it freely.
Can you write, thanks for support of farm broadcasting?
I'll date it there for you too.
You've done this before.
Yeah, a few thousand times.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
your
help.
Welcome. Thank you for supporting.
Well, it started way back in 1945 when my father was on strike. at a local foundry, and he started making castings in his basement. And one day he made a farm toy, and I was 10 years old at the time. And at that time, the toy tractor sold so well, he never went back to his job again. And of course, I grew up with the business. And then when I was in my senior year of high school, I started taking drafting courses. And we went from sand casting to die casting, and we had to have drawings. So I started making the drawings for the toys, and I've been designing them ever since.
Today, Joe Ertl's company is called Scale Models, and he still loves to design and make toy tractors, in large part, he says, because the farm community has welcomed him into its vast family called agriculture.
It's been a pleasure for me to work my whole life here in the designing of these toys, which have made so many people happy. You know, the farmers have really been great to our family, and I can't think of anything more wholesome than little toy tractor and to be a pretend a farmer. It's so much better than some of these toys I've seen made over the year, and it's been a pleasure for me to be associated with the farmers and the farming industry and everything. It's just been a wonderful life.
That's a Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
If you're lucky, what you'll find under your Christmas tree this year is a toy tractor made by Joseph Ertl in Dyersville, Iowa. That's what's on the top of my list. Well, by the way, thanks in advance, Santa. Your friend, Todd Gleason at the University of Illinois.
But could there be something I might have missed? I had quite a few things on my list. I hope he can fit it all under that Christmas tree. Hope he can fit it all under my Christmas tree. Let's see, I know he's gonna fit the, well, he'll fit the airplane under there, and he can get that bicycle in there and the gumball machine, and I don't know what he's gonna do with that horse.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. That last story, by the way, I produced more than a decade ago. Hey, do visit our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming, and you'll find a way to contact me, but you can do it this way, too. If you want to call me, you can do 217-333-9697. That's 217-333-9697. My email address is tgleason@illinois.edu. That's T-G-L-E-A-S-O-N at Illinois, spelled out, .edu. The EDU, of course, stands for education. If you're interested in having us come out and do one of our Will Ag panels at an evening or daytime event, we'll be glad to do that. You can call us up and we can talk a bit about having some of the analysts that you hear on the air come out to your event. Now, up next, another story for Christmas.
The Night Before Christmas, a poem by Clement Moore. "'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there. The children were nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mom in her kerchief and I in my cap, well, we'd just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn, there rose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter, and away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw open the sash, and the moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to the objects below, when what to my wondering eye should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle mounted the sky, so up to the house of the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas, too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he'd flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth, it was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin, well, that was as white as snow. The stump of the pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye, a twist of his head, soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings. And then he turned with a jerk, and laying his finger beside his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team, gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down on a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Bet that you'll get some new tools. Many of them will probably need to be connected to the internet, maybe some of them in your house. And you're thinking, if I live in the rural parts of the state, how am I going to do that easily and make it fast? There's an option. It's called Exceed Internet, at least one option. And I talked to them while I was at NAFB, the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, last November. Here's their Director of Communications and Customer Experience, Matt Farr. Tell me what Exceed Internet is.
Exceed Internet is a satellite internet service. We offer good internet service that you can get virtually anywhere, which is unique because a lot of people in rural areas don't have access to the kind of internet that you can get in a metropolitan center. And so we bring the internet to you regardless of where you choose to live. And our service is 12 megs down and 3 megs up, so it's much faster.
That good enough to watch Netflix?
Oh, for sure. Netflix requires somewhere between 3 to 5 megs to get an HD signal out of it, and our service is 12, so you can get a very good Netflix signal with Exceed Internet.
How broadly are you available?
We're available throughout the United States in all 50 states. About 85% of people in the United States can get our fastest service, which is a 12 meg service, and in the other areas we offer a 5 meg service. That's in areas like Montana and Nevada, maybe less populated areas.
Do me the comparison between Direct and Dish and the offerings that they have.
We actually partner with both Dish and DirecTV because they're primarily TV services. They have satellite dishes, we have satellite dishes, so we're all kind of delivering our services via satellite. But for instance, if you call DirecTV up, you know, they might ask you, what are you using for your internet service? And if you don't have anything, they'll actually sell you our service.
That's interesting. I was thinking that they had their own services, but you're incorporated into both?
So with DirecTV, they actually just resell Exceed Internet. With Dish, they actually sell a service called DishNet, and a lot of times that service is actually powered by us.
If I just want you, and I just want to take TV off of the HD signals that are coming from my local stations, can I do that?
That's right. I mean, you can... you can just, if you can get signal by an antenna, a digital antenna, and you know, you don't feel like you need to pay for TV service, but maybe you want to watch Netflix and YouTube and all that kind of stuff, we're a great choice for that. You can get our service, get hooked up, and you know, cancel your you know, pay TV service.
What's your monthly fee?
Services start at about $50 a month.
And they go up to what? And is it stair-stepped in some form? So do you have a 6-meg service, a 9-meg service, a 12-meg service?
We do have different plans. It's actually not based on speed. All of our services are 12 megs. It's actually based on the amount of data you use. So we have plans ranging, starting at 50 and going all the way up to 150. So depending on how much data you need, you know, if you're if you work from home and you're using the internet all the time, you have a big family and they're all simultaneously watching YouTube and Netflix and Amazon, you know, you may need a bigger data plan. But we actually have a plan called the Liberty Plan, and even if you burn through all of your data with the Liberty Pass that comes with our Liberty Plan, you can kind of keep using your service even after you've reached the cap.
Do you have consumer and business plans both?
We do. In fact, we just started offering a new level of business plans with a lot more data, metered billing so that you can just kind of pay as you go. And then we offer a redundancy service as well for people who already have a primary internet service but want to make sure that they have a backup internet service in case, you know, a backhoe takes out the fiber line to their small business.
So when you work with businesses, is it mostly incoming data that they're using for their employees, or is it oftentimes outgoing data where they're serving information to others?
You know, it's some of both. You know, certainly businesses that are doing transactions, like credit card transactions, I mean, that's an outgoing connection. So it is some of both. You know, for businesses, you know, like an insurance agency, where maybe they, you know, maybe they're downloading stuff from, you know, kind of the master insurance agent. You know, that could be a download thing. So it kind of depends on the business.
Okay, so I want to delve just a little bit into this, because there will be some small businesses, certainly in rural areas, that do not have activity fast enough, and or maybe they want to use you as the backup plan. What kind of businesses that have to have a whole lot of uploads? For instance, those that might be used, let's divide them up. So if I'm selling something and really it's just about, you know, the MasterCard transactions, mm-hmm. I suspect that can be handled fairly easily by your system. But if I'm serving a whole bunch of other media materials, maybe not so much.
You know, the biggest differentiator is video. You know, almost everything else uses some data, but it's not using a lot of data. Video is the thing that uses the most data. So if you're a business, if you're a news broadcaster, and you are going to remote places and need to upload data, or you're just based out of a remote place, that's the area where you do the most uploading of data. Otherwise, generally, when people are using the internet, whether it's for business or for your home use, you're doing more downloading than uploading. The uploading part is the request. You know, I want to go to yahoo.com to check my email. And then the downloading part is all your email.
Again, where do we find you on the internet and if we want to learn more information?
We're exceed.com. That's EXEDE.com.
That was Matt Farr. He's Director of Communications and Customer Experience for Exceed Internet. You can find them online at exceed.com. You can find us online at willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Thank you to everyone who attended the 5th Annual WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference in Normal. We appreciate your support. A special thank you to these businesses for helping to make it possible: the Illinois Corn Growers Association, Syngenta, and TIAA. More details on agriculture at willag.org.
It's National Eggnog Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1809, Kit Carson was born, an American frontiersman. His last words when he died in 1868 were reportedly, "Wish I had time for just one more bowl of chili." 1826 marked an eggnog riot at West Point Military Academy. When informed that their Christmas eggnog would be alcohol-free, cadets in North Barrack No. 5 decided to make their own eggnog with alcohol. Of course, the party eventually got out of hand, and the artillery unit stationed at West Point had to quell the disturbance. In the aftermath, 6 cadets resigned, 19 were court-martialed, and many, including a young Jefferson Davis, were confined to quarters for more than a month. In 1914, John Muir died. Muir was a naturalist who was largely responsible for the establishment of the Yosemite National Park in California. Muir drew attention to the devastation of mountain meadows by sheep and cattle, leading to his role as father of the national park system. And in 2006, in the Chicago suburb of Villa Park, thieves stole a semi-tractor trailer filled with broccoli. It was valued at $50,000. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason with this Christmas Eve Day edition of the Closing Market Report. About a month ago, I was in Kansas City at the Van Trump Conference and spoke with the CEO of Bunge. He has since stepped aside, but at that point in time, we were talking about the decommoditization of commodities like number 2 yellow corn. He clearly has an opinion on where companies and maybe farmers will find value in this opportunity.
I do. I think we're all trying to do the same thing in a way, which is to decommoditize and create a more stable margin of some sorts. But it's not a quick fix. This takes time and it takes effort and it takes some investment. So sustainability comes in many forms. And in South America, it means something different than here. But basically, it means good stewardship. And whether it's center field programs like the ones we have, field to market, there are all kinds of different programs out there where you can become part of something for a very, almost for nothing and get a premium that basically shows the good work you're already doing. Why not go for it? But when it comes to things like different traits, for us it's more about seeds probably than it is corn, but it doesn't matter, it can be corn too. With gene editing companies like Benson Hill, we've heard about them, it's endless, the opportunities that are in front of us in terms of how we can create just what the consumer wants. But it starts with knowing what the consumer wants and then working your way backwards. It's not just producing what you hope you can sell. And that also takes time. And getting into the supply chains of some of the mega companies is a long process. It takes a year or two. So in that period of time, you know, we all have to work together to come up with a plan and a commitment to make this work. For, as far as we're concerned, it's kind of an open book. We are happy to share the economics of all this and find a way to share profit and risk along the way. But it's not just something you do from one crop to the other. It's a multi-year process. Organic farming is a good example of that. It takes a long time, but anything you do along the road of differentiation and added value is a journey, and it takes partnership to make that work. And we're I think quite successful, but it's taking too long. And I think it's because somehow we've positioned ourselves, you know, without intention, as being not aligned. That there's a conflict of interest, and there really isn't. So I would just say, you know, be open. We are. Talk to us, talk to anybody about what we can do, whether it is seeds or whether it is corn or wheat. There is a market for it. There's not a market for all of it at the same time. That can happen. But everybody could be involved somehow or invested in a bit of a niche. But, you know, it takes planning, it takes investment. We've been pretty successful at it, and we're working hard to do more. But it's not a it's not something you do from one crop cycle to the next.
That's Soren Schroeder speaking at the Van Trump Conference about a month ago. His discussion points were around decommoditization of things like number two yellow corn, the idea being that in the near future, meaning the next couple of years, companies like McDonald's and others will be looking to pull all the way through the supply chain characteristics that belong to production agriculture, and there will be opportunity for premiums to be paid.